Let's get the scoop from the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline as the Eagles report to camp on Wednesday. Mr. Tim McManus joins us. Tim, what's going on?
Well, Mike, I think the celebration is still going on. First off, I mean, did you see that they shut down a street in Philadelphia to rewatch the Super Bowl on the big screen last week?
I did not see that. Where was this?
Yeah, I think it was in South Philly where they just decided that they were going to throw this block party where they shut down all traffic. They put up a big screen and they relived the moment with, you know, with beers flying in the air every time a touchdown was scored.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know that. I thought there wasn't as much rabidity to follow this team because we've gotten so comfortable with the victory.
No, I think it's just that the party has really stretched into the summer. And if you're looking for signs of whether people are interested or not, so there's two open practices for Eagles training camp at Lincoln Financial Field, and both of those are sold out already.
Wow.
Compare that to other years where, you know, you would get, I don't know, upwards of like 20,000 people. I mean, the stadium is going to be packed to see what's left of the 2017 Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, you know, throw the football around on a summer night. So interest is there, you know.
Yeah, it is exciting when you think about it. They're coming back as defending Super Bowl champions, and it's such an uncharted territory here for fans. So, yeah, maybe they're just laying low and they're going to burst at the seams. And, you know, I've predicted that once the Eagles season starts, if the Phillies get just swept completely under the carpet, they're kind of swept there now. But once the Eagles start, they're going to get engulfed.
Yeah, especially no Machado in town.
Exactly.
Will probably help with that. And also, you know, right now, probably if you're going hardcore with the Eagles right now, like it's sort of the way that the offseason is, and certainly the way it's been in Philly, is it's like criticism. You're looking for areas of weakness, and you're looking where can it be repaired and what are the big problems going to be. And I think that really maybe the appetite isn't there right now for that, given that you want to preserve, you know, the championship season for as long as possible. And also, when you're coming off a title, there's not a whole lot to pick apart either.
Tim, let me ask you this general question, and then we'll kind of get near zero in on specifics here. If the Eagles do not repeat, how devastated do you think this fan base would be? Do you think that, because I wouldn't care that, I mean, I would care, but I wouldn't be devastated like years have passed where you're chasing uphill, you're running uphill, and you almost get there, but you don't get there.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, 08 to 09 Phillies is a good comparison here, where there's certainly, there's always a disappointment, but I don't think it quite went to devastation when you're talking about the Phillies. And I think it would be the same way, especially because this Super Bowl is historic in Philadelphia. It's the first one ever, and it has such a special feeling that comes along with it that it really has extended far beyond, and I think we'll continue into the season. I mean, it's not exactly going to be a celebration tour, but I think the fan base is going to be satiated for longer than it normally would be coming off of a title, given that it's the first one that they had a chance to hold the Lombardi Trophy. So a lot depends sort of on how it would transpire and the heartbreak level of the game that you did lose. But I think that, you know, it's not like this fan base is going to curl up in a ball if they don't make it to the Super Bowl this year. I think they, you know, at least for another season, I think they're pretty well satiated.
All right, let's look at the, I don't know if you saw, you probably did, Dan Graziano's story on ESPN.com about the Eagles won't win the Super Bowl for the next 3 years because he's got the stats to back that up. Now, when you look at this team, it looks to be, on paper, a little better than the team that won the Super Bowl last year. So what are the obstacles to them not winning or to winning?
Well, one of them would be complacency. And actually, the media is playing so far pretty well into their hands in that respect. You know, the first power rankings that came out had the Patriots on top instead of the Eagles. You had Ben McAdoo that says that the Eagles are going to have a hard time dealing with success. And Graziano has them not winning over the next 3 years, but look, I think that the odds of getting back to the mountaintop are not great when you look at it historically and especially recent history. The Patriots in 03, 04 are the only team since the turn of the century to go back and win back-to-back Super Bowl titles. So the odds are against you, but the more fuel I think the outside world can give them, the better. So complacency, I think, Mike, is number one. And I think the second reason why it's tough to get back to the mountaintop is because, you know, a Super Bowl run takes a lot out of a team. I got to witness it on a day-to-day basis. You know, the energy and the commitment and the physical toll that it takes these players to go week in and week out and be competing and have an intensity level that's higher than the rest of the best around them for a stretch that runs into February is pretty taxing. And so on their bodies, you know, they had less time to recover mentally. They've had less time to recover. And now they're thrown right into a new season and asked to have that same intensity level and that same type of physical domination. I think that's really the next challenge that lies in front of them, is to be able to overcome that. There is such a thing as a Super Bowl hangover. It's very real, the obstacles that you have to overcome to do it. And I think it's going to take a lot of mental fortitude in order for them to do so.
Yeah, I agree. Here are a couple other things I'm running by, too. Good. When you're trying to compete and you're playing a team and they know they're playing Super Bowl champions, they come at you hard. I mean, their preparation is impeccable. This is a game that the opponent really wants to win. And there's also a lot of new dudes that have to be fit into this team. So those two factors, I think, and then you add the quarterback situation with not knowing whether he's going to be ready at the start or not. What do you, first of all, let's talk about Carson. And do you expect him to be the starter game one?
Well, I mean, if you watched him in the spring, or even saw his wedding dance recital, him dancing Thriller, you know that he's feeling pretty good on that knee right now, and that there aren't as many limitations maybe as you might expect from a guy that was coming off of ACL surgery, at least not noticeably out in front of you. So I think that all of the signs have been very encouraging for Wentz so far. I can't go as far as to say that he's definitely going to be under center week one, however, yet, because a lot of it, this is a fluid situation, and he's got to get through training camp in order to and have the necessary kind of rehab and recovery in order to be physically ready to be under center against the Atlanta Falcons. So the next big hurdle for him is to get cleared for contact. That's what he called as, you know, the biggest next thing in front of him in his rehab process. We don't know exactly when that's coming, but we know that behind the scenes he's been doing everything possible, that every sign has been a positive one so far, that he's certainly going to be pushing for it. I guess given all of those things, I mean, it would be, I'd probably maybe lean towards him being under center week one, but we still have a way to go till we know that for sure.
All right. Is it possible that he does not take a snap during preseason and starts game one?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, number one, he doesn't have that as a personal goal. And the last time that we talked with him at minicamp, I made sure to ask him that question. Since this recovery is going well, have you prioritized playing in a preseason game? And he said that the target remains week one, and that's all that he's really focused on. Also, Doug Peterson has mentioned that he doesn't really care about the preseason. He just wants to have Wentz ready for the regular season. And given that they have a little bit of a history there, his rookie year with the Sam Bradford trade, and Wentz was hurt with the rib injury and sort of just got thrown into the fire week one and excelled, they have reason to believe that he could potentially do it again. So maybe it's not the ideal thing, but really they're just concentrated on having him healthy for the start of the regular season. And if that means bypassing the preseason in order to do that, then so be it.
All right, let's look at just a couple areas quickly. The starting cornerbacks and who will be the nickel. They'll probably be a nickel most of the time, and then we'll get to the linebackers when they're not nickel. But who right now lines up as the starting corners? Who's the starting nickel?
You know, the starting cornerbacks, I mean, Jalen Mills, I think, is going to be one of them. And I would put my money on Sidney Jones being the other one, although Ronald Darby is in the mix there, too. And, he's a veteran, and he certainly has a shot to be there. But those will probably be your three primary guys. As far as the nickel goes, Mike, it was literally a rotating cast of characters throughout the spring. There was somebody new there every time we went out there and saw him. And Sidney Jones was the first one. The rookie Avante Maddox was in there. Devontae Bosby was in there. There was a big group of guys. DJ Killings was even getting some reps as first team nickel. I think that remains unresolved. But if you can get your best three players on the field, that's probably the best case scenario. And I think right now, as it stands, Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, Sidney Jones are your best three cornerbacks.
All right, the linebacker, the third linebacker, when they go three linebackers.
I think it's going to be Corey Nelson ultimately, although Kamu Grugier-Hill was getting some of the first-team reps and was kind of the first guy in that unit. Pushing for that.
Yeah, we lost you there for a second, but we did get the gist of that. So final question, have you had enough time to regenerate? I mean, it's tough on the media covering a long season like that, probably longer than you've ever gone in covering something.
Yeah, I now have a newfound appreciation for Patriots beat writers.
There you go. There you go. So have you had enough to off time is the question for you to be at your best?
Yeah, they have. Well, I would say that at least gives me an appreciation for what the players are doing. Because if I'm feeling a little bit of a hangover, what the hell are they feeling? The guys that had to play every week, right? But I am officially ready to go. It took me a little longer to turn the corner, Mike, but I'm fired up to follow this team for another season. And it's going to be, either way, it's going to be a memorable one and a fun one this year.
Yeah, see, the only difference is in their off season, they're going to Cabo, and you're going to Sea Isle.
That's exactly right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
It's a little different. Yeah.
Timmy, have a great time, and we'll look forward to all your reports.
All right, Mike. I appreciate it.
There he is, Tim McManus.